thank you for donating more than $100,000 to Issues Etc. in the past month. And with 2 weeks left in 2016, we're $18,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year.
As we were leaving, the large truck came through. It went just past me, past my girlfriend. I think it missed me by 3 meters, missed her by 5. It came in through the entrance, hit the sides of the barriers, and then carried on past us.
We just hear an incredible, strong noise. It was like, it was really loud, like if a part of a building collapsed somewhere.
Some eyewitnesses to Monday's truck attack at a Christmas market in Berlin, Germany. ISIS, of course, according to the New York Times, has claimed responsibility for this assault, one of Germany's deadliest acts of terrorism in decades, leaving 48 wounded, 12 of them seriously, and 12 killed on Monday. Of course, they're still searching, at least the latest news is still searching for the driver who they think they know his identity. He is in some ways a typical suspect, in some ways perhaps not. We're going to be talking about the Berlin Christmas market attack here on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 21st. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Uwe Simonetto will join us to talk about the Berlin Christmas attack. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker joins us, host of the radio show Law and Gospel, to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus and the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Feel free to join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. That's our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. And whenever and wherever you listen, you can always use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a regular guest. He's a native of Germany, former religion editor for United Press International, founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life and the League of Faithful Masks. Uwe, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Paint a picture of the location where this attack took place on Monday, this market, this Christmas market in Berlin.
Right. This is, by the way, one of many Christmas markets in Berlin itself, the largest, and many of one of hundreds and hundreds throughout Germany. It is an area in the center of the old West Berlin, surrounding the Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church. Now, this is a church that actually is the congregation of Germany's imperial family, hence Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church, and it doesn't have its own congregation. It is a central church. It is there for the Kaiser, for the Emperor, and of course for anybody who wants to come in. It's a Protestant church. It was destroyed during World War II. The ruins are still standing. They were restored so that they would not disintegrate. And then alongside the old church, a very impressive modern church was built with a beautiful sanctuary, sort of blue crystal lights. It's very beautiful. And around it, it's near Kurfürstendamm and Budapester Straße. I used to live around that corner for many years. And that is, of course, where everybody congregates. All the big department stores, some of the biggest department stores are there, etc. And so you have a Christmas market, is what you sometimes have in some parts of America as well, especially Chicago. You have Glühwein stands, you have the Glühwein as of malted wines, you have stands where you can get Christmas cakes, Christmas biscuits, toys, and the merry-go-rounds, and it is a very lovely, jolly atmosphere music, etc. Thousands of people congregate there, and it goes on throughout the season of Advent, and of course ends, and of course on Christmas Eve, or with on Christmas Day. It's very large and little garish, but pleasant, and the people are joy of full of the Christmas spirit, especially in Berlin, where there's a lot of unease about a number of issues, including, of course, the migrants. And they all come together, and a lot of the foreigners come there too. And they come from overseas, they come from Britain and other places to attend the Christmas market.
You wanted to make the point, of course, here that a lot of times these attacks, and sometimes rightly so, are associated with the influx of Muslim immigrants from Syria into Germany and elsewhere. But this does not appear to have a Syrian connection, does it?
No. Actually, most of them didn't. You see, that is the most extraordinary thing. This is where most of the American media, including especially Bill O'Reilly, with his vindictive attack, who used this attack, this tragic event, instead of mourning with us Germans, to really lamb into Germany and his Chancellor Merkel. It's nothing to do with it. Most of these attacks were not Syrians. If you had, for example, last year at the square in front of the Central Station, Cologne Central Station, when these women were grabbed, these people were again primarily North Africans, and they have been North Africans, mostly illegal immigrants, or they just came across the border from France. They have been a problem. When I studied in Paris in the 1950s, these people were a problem. There were very, very few incidents where you had Syrians involved, or Iraqis for that matter. They were normally North Africans.
What does that tell you?
Muslims, of course. They're Muslims, and in the case of Cologne, they probably don't believe in anything. But here, in this particular case, it seems pretty clear that this was a well-planned terrorist attack conducted by, as it turns out now, evidently by a Tunisian who had been caught before, was ordered to leave the country, but then Tunisia wouldn't take him back, because what these people do very, very often is to destroy their identity papers. And so the Tunisians say, well, it's not our problem anymore. He can't prove that he's a Tunisian, even though he spoke Arabic with a Tunisian accent and all that sort of thing, which, of course, German cops very easily find out. There are plenty of Arab translators.
So how big a story is Islam in Europe?
It's huge. It's huge, and it's getting worse. It's a very interesting thing. Islam has become a story, actually less because of a migration, because most of the fiercest terrorist attacks took place in places like France and Belgium, which had not been subject to the recent wave of immigrants. They've had large Muslim communities already who have been separated, have lived very often separate existences, live in their own universe in many ways, with no-go-zones in Paris, and in the outskirts of Paris, for example, the outskirts of Lyon. The cops often do not actually dare to tread inside. Nicolas Sarkozy, the former president of France, when he was interior minister of France, tried to form a federation of Islamic societies to have a partner for to help these people integrate. But of course, they don't wish to be integrated. In Germany, yes, there's something fascinating going on. Obviously, you had my friend Gottfried Martens, the pastor of this fabulous Trinity Lutheran Church in Berlin, on your program several times. In Germany, you have a different issue. Here, for one thing, the German public generally have been very welcoming because they these people were refugees. As many of us have been refugees, I myself have been a refugee when I was a child, so I obviously feel a lot of sympathy. And what is never reported in this country is that 10% of the German population, in one way or another, volunteer to integrate these people. 10%, that's 8 million people. To translate this into American terms would be 33 million Americans actively volunteering to integrate integrate foreigners. It is huge, and it is very moving. And in many instances, it works well. In other instances, it doesn't. Syrians are the least problem because the biggest problems are usually from the more Asian parts of Turkey and of course North Africans who came in under the guise of something else. But nonetheless, there is a strong movement inside Germany to integrate these people. But of course, with the current terrorists, the recent terrorists, and especially this one, the Germans are becoming very leery and, of course, pointing the finger at Angela Merkel's welcoming policy, which is understandable, even though these crimes are not normally committed by the people who were part of that wave of migration last year that we watched last year and this year, but they were there for different reasons. But it's actually rather unfair, and especially, and I am furious with some of the American media today, like yesterday, Bill O'Reilly on the O'Reilly Factor, claiming wrongly that Merkel, welcomed these people in because he needed a workforce. This is nonsense. She watched a dead child being washed ashore on the beach in the Aegeus, and said, "This cannot happen. We have to open our doors." And then, of course, Germany was let down by most of its European allies, which is an extraordinarily disgraceful thing. And that, of course, triggered a backlash, which we can discuss a little later.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're talking about the Berlin Christmas market attack. When we come back, why are places like Germany and France targeted by what for them is domestic terrorism? Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a native of Germany, a former religion editor for United Press International, and founder emeritus and director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life and the League of Faithful Masks. We'll be right back. Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. WorldUSA.org.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Rocking around, Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, Sacred Music for the Christmas Season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the Christmas Season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We have some great Christmas programming lined up for you and for potential listeners through the week of Christmas. I know what it's like. I served full-time as a parish pastor for many years, and I know that people come at Christmas time in church who may not darken the door of the church any other time, maybe Easter as well. This is a good kind of non-threatening way to introduce them to some solid Lutheran theology through the programming, talk radio for the Christmas season programming that we're offering here at Issues, etc. We'll talk about the Christmas season with Pastor Will Whedon. We'll study a few Christmas hymns. We'll talk about 19th century theologian C.F.W. Walther on Jesus' birth, the virgin birth and its importance, and a couple days in the Christmas season, circumcision and name of Jesus. And we'll cap it all off talking about Jesus, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You'll find it all in the Issues, Etc. bulletin insert for the Christmas week. It also includes a way that they can listen to Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the Christmas Season. You can find it at our website. It's absolutely free. Get it to your church secretary or pastor this week. Issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find the bulletin there. It's easy to download and print off. And help us promote Issues, Etc. through the Christmas season. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're talking about the Berlin Christmas market attack. Uwe, why is it that places like France and Germany are targeted by this kind of terrorism?
Well, they're targeted by this kind of terror because, first of all, they're accessible. Don't forget that Britain was also targeted. They have their own Muslim problem. They're the wealthiest countries, and they're best struck, they're the most secularized countries, they're the freest countries, they're the most easily accessible countries. They have resident Muslim communities in France. It's mainly North Africans and Black Africans in Germany, primarily Turks. And they have open borders. Imagine Germany, which is the size of Montana, with 80 million people in it, has 10 open borders. 10, not 2 like America, like the United States, 10. So they can come in. We are dependent on other countries, neighboring countries closer to the Middle East. You can reach Germany, of course, on a land route. You can't reach America on the land route. And then Germany is extremely well organized, has a very good healthcare system, as has France. So that is one thing. The other thing is, of course, Germany and France both represent this secular sort of mindset to them, which I think is changing. That might be something for another broadcast. But there are shifts within the German and French populations. And but again, the secular mindset of free Western, liberal Western societies are, of course, an easy target for radical Muslims. And of course, it has been the intention of Islam to Islamize Europe since the 8th century AD. And there have been waves one wave after another, and they've been thrown back, and now they think they are going to succeed. All this has to be handled packed together, but it is taught also risky for the Arabs, because you might find, first of all, you see that there's a mood swing in Germany and in France against Islam. No longer this great wave of tolerance. Secondly, the Germans in particular resist. As we speak, I just watched the latest poll from Germany, where 80% of the Germans polled after this particular attack now said they will not allow to be scared themselves. They are not scared. They do not feel unsafe. So there's a strong resistance. In addition to which, you've reported on this several times, we've discussed it, there is a movement of a conversion from Islam to Christianity, and it is particularly strong in Berlin, and whereas it started out with people like Pastor Martens, whom you interviewed several times, of the Independent Lutheran Church, it is now really all across the Protestant and Catholic spectrum. So even where the church leaderships, the bishops of the liberal state-related churches are hesitant to bring the gospel to these people. These people come into the churches. They go to the pastor. They say, we want to be baptized. And that, of course, has a very important impact on the Christian Muslim relationship on the global scale, because it now seems to many of the Muslims that, wait a minute, well, if we do that, then what we are actually doing is we are driving many of our people into Christian arms. I've always wondered whether God did not have a major hand in this wave of refugees being brought to Germany. 900,000, more than 900,000 last year, 600,000 this year alone, and especially into actually rather de-Christianized country, but there is still enough Christian identity left for people to come out of their corners and say, oh, wait a minute, we are Christians after all. It's very interesting that one of the most important statements that Chancellor Merkel made in this context, was it a year and a half ago at the University of Bern in Switzerland, when she received an honorary degree, she said, instead of being afraid of Islam, why don't you study your own religion better? Why don't you go back to church? Why don't you study scripture? Why don't you go into church and study the images, the meaning of those images in a church? Why don't you do that? That is much more important than being afraid of something else. A very, very powerful statement. Totally lost on the American media. I found this stunning, because that is where she's coming from. She is the daughter of a Lutheran pastor, and she is a committed Christian. And I think we should study this and observe this development now, obviously prayerfully, but we should observe it with keen interest, because it might turn out in a totally different direction than expected otherwise.
So what you see here, it sounds like, is perhaps the futility of these kinds of attacks, as deadly and as tragic as they are, the futility in making them a means by which Europe, in particular in these cases, France and Germany, are kind of cowed into their goals for Islamization. Counterproductive, yeah. Is that a good term for this?
Yeah, it's counterproductive from their point of view, and I think it's clear. I mean, all you have to do, watch people, look at those scenes on television. I mean, this is the most secularized area of Berlin, you know. Look at them, look at the people kneeling there, praying, making the sign of the cross, uniting around Christian symbols. Look how full that church was today's service. It is breathtaking. Let's go to France as well, because this is where I spent almost half the year. When the Islamists murdered a Catholic priest, cut his throat at the altar, even the Catholic, even the communist mayor of that town said, "Now wait a minute! Look," he cried and said, "What have they done to our priest? You know, this is very, very, this is amazing." And now the demonstrations in France, for example, against the same-sex marriage laws of the outgoing president Hollande, tens of thousands of young people are demonstrating against this violation of what they think is traditional Christian Western culture. I think this should be seen as a wake-up call, or indeed, Europe would be lost, but I wouldn't give up so easily on Europe. That would be very foolish indeed.
And finally, you've mentioned this several times here, Uwe, and I'd like your thoughts on it. You have mentioned these conversions, the Reverend Martin that you mentioned before that we've talked with. These conversions here, sometimes someone will look at them cynically and say, this is some sort of clandestine plan on the part of these Muslim immigrants to be accepted into European society or into German society. What's your response to that?
Look, take Martins. I mean, he has converted something like 1,400 people by now, and they stay. It's not if they stay. If you then accomplished your deal and became admitted as a refugee, why then, if you're not a believer, why participate? Why learn those German hymns? Why undergo 6 months of catechetical instruction? Why go out and recruit others for conversion? This is the thing that people hold against Martins and others. It's absolutely vile. Sure, there are some people who are being dishonest about it, and you say, "Well, I'd do anything to get out of Persia or out of Iraq or someplace." That is very true. But I think if Martins said if it's 10% of those, that would be many. Basically, 90% of them stay faithful Christians and are teaching. I mean, take Leipzig, my hometown, where converts are now helping convert or bringing children of communist families, formerly communist families, to Christ. Sort of ghetto kids. I mean, they're white ghettos. They're not blacks. Bringing them to Christ. There is something so significant going on here, and it's worldwide. It's not just in Europe. It's not just in Germany. In Germany, it's visible. But I've written about this phenomenon back in 2001, 2002. 2003, after 9/11 in particular, in places like Afghanistan and elsewhere, that there is a movement away from Islam and towards Christianity, and that of course makes the Islamists all the more violent and radical, because they must sense that they're not succeeding, basically. I mean, they're succeeding in killing a lot of people, yes, but they're not succeeding in persuading fellow Muslims to become even more radicalized. To the quite the contrary, they push them away. We know this from the stories from Iraq, where they've been rampaging and killing and crucifying and burning to death their fellow Muslims and Christians and others, and yet more and more people turn their backs on Islam as a result of this in particular.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a native of Germany, former religion editor for United Press International. He's founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life and the League of Faithful Masks. You'll find a link to these at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Uwe, thank you very much, and it's good to talk to you.
Thank you. Yeah, and Merry Christmas to you.
On the other side of the break, Pastor Tom Baker joins us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson. We're going to be in John chapter 4. We're kind of working our way slowly through the Gospel of John 3 last time with Nicodemus. And here is John chapter 4, where Jesus finds himself in Samaritan territory. In fact, he goes there on purpose. He goes to a well on purpose. He meets there a woman on purpose, and he converts an entire village. We'll be right back. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. It's titled The Christmas Connection. You can find out more about this new Christmas Arch book at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Christmas Connection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will discover the relationship between Jesus' birth and resurrection in The Christmas Connection. 1-800-325-3040.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Are you looking for a last-minute Christmas gift? Reformation Gear has produced a new Martin Luther plush figure featuring the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The clcc.org.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.